Welcome to the program. This is Robert Hadamiel. This week I'll be sitting in for Pastor Brian Parrish, and we will be looking at the flaws of the faith movement. The main topics we'll be looking at are the faith movement's teaching on faith, their teaching on health, their teaching on wealth, their teaching on God, and their teaching on man. Today we'll be focusing on the faith movement's teaching on faith. It's pretty fundamental to understand what the faith movement believes in regards to faith, because their definition of faith establishes the rest of what they teach. So let's go ahead and get into our study. Now, at the very core of the faith movement's theology is a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches about faith and what its purpose is. So the first item we're going to examine is the definition of faith per the faith movement. We will be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you have a Bible next to you, go ahead and turn there. But I just want to go ahead and read a couple of quotes from Kenneth Copeland, who many consider to be one of the leading proponents to the faith movement. And this is part of his definition of the word faith. He teaches that, quote, faith is a power force. It is a tangible force, and it is conductive. And so what Kenneth Copeland believes is that faith is literally a tangible substance, something to the effect of a material. It's incredible what Kenneth Copeland thinks in regards to faith and our use of it. He at times even goes to the degree of stating that God cannot do anything for you apart from faith. And he states faith is God's power. So in other words, God's very power is our ability to use faith. And apart from us, God can do nothing, which seems to be quite at odds with how the Bible says apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So there definitely seems to be some contradictions with Mr. Copeland's definition of the word faith and how it is used in the Bible. He has stated as well, and I quote, that faith was the raw material substance that the Spirit of God used to form the universe. In other words, there was a type of material out there that God grabbed hold of and used, and through that material made the universe. Whereas interesting, the Bible says that God created the universe, and what that means is that he made something out of nothing. Now, if that is true, and God made this universe out of nothing, then he had no quote-unquote substance of faith that he used to create the universe. What the faith teachers believe is that faith is the very substance or material that God uses, and with our words, we carry that substance to get things accomplished. Charles Capp has stated, and I quote, some think that God made the earth out of nothing, but he didn't. Can you believe that? He made it out of something. The substance God used was faith. He used words as a carrier of that faith. So interestingly, where the Bible says God created, which means he made the universe out of no material that existed, out of nothing, Mr. Capp believes that God made the universe out of something. What I want to look at now is, where in the Bible do the faith teachers establish their teaching on faith and what that means? And if you've had your Bible, go ahead again and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and let's go ahead and read that verse together. I'll be reading out the New King James Version. And I read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So a faith teacher will come and say, you see, faith is a substance. It's a material. The Bible right there says so. What they don't understand is there's not one perfect translation of the original Greek manuscripts. When we look at the word that the New King James translation translates as substance, we find that it means something different than what the faith movement has given a definition of. The word that's being used here in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the word hypostasis. And the word hypostasis, it does not speak of a raw material, as the proponents of the faith movement suggest, but rather an assurance or an assured or settled reality. Lenski translates the word as a firm confidence, so that faith is the firm confidence of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As well, the NIV translation of the Bible translates this phrase as being sure of what we hope for. Before you build a whole theology on one word in one verse in the Bible, it's important to understand what that word means. And so what we're going to do is kind of take a quick little word study of the word substance. Originally, This word was used to describe any type of sediment, whether it be in a medical or biological context. It was used to describe the stuff, if I can use that phrase, at the bottom of the barrel, the dregs. It eventually evolved into a philosophical concept. A lot of philosophers use this word to describe the hidden reality behind what was seen. What was seen, and even the Bible alludes to this, was the shadow of the substance that was not seen. And we see where, even in the book of Colossians, Paul uses this concept, and he describes the law of Moses as that shadow of that true substance, which is Christ. And so what we see in the law of Moses was actually a type of that unseen reality at that time of Christ. And Christ is the fulfillment or reality of that shadow. That's kind of the same concept, how this word is used throughout the Bible. Even pagan philosophies or philosophers at the time realized that there was an unseen reality to what we see in life. In other words, what we could see, touch, experience with our own senses are only an indication or a shadow of the true reality. And we see from the book of Hebrews where even the law of Moses and all that was involved in the tabernacle and the sanctuary was really a type of that true sanctuary in heaven that was made without hands. So this concept's used all throughout the Bible. That's how the philosophers used it, and that is how the writer of Hebrews is using it right here. Though faith had an intangible quality that was not seen, its results were demonstrated by one's actions, and that's really how the concept's used throughout the Bible. A graphic picture of this concept is given by the example of a pond. Now, the word hypostasis, which is the word the New King James and King James translation of the Bible translates as substance, that word hypostasis would have been used to describe the sediment on the bottom of a pond. When viewing the top of the pond, we would see green water. The green substance on top was what we could see of the sediment or the hypostasis on the bottom of that pond, which we could not see. In the same way, we cannot visibly see faith, but it is evidenced by our actions, by our firm confidence in the promises of God. And that is what is being described here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is not a tangible force or substance or material. Rather, it is an intangible trust in God Himself. Regardless of our circumstances, we trust or have faith in God that He is in control of our lives. It's ironic that the very passage, Hebrews chapter 11, that faith proponents use to support their definition of faith is the very one that actually refutes it. For example, Marilyn Hickey tells us to create our own health. She says to, and I quote, say to your body, your whole body, why you just function so beautifully and so well. Why, body, you never have any problems. You're a strong, healthy body. Or speak to your leg, or speak at your foot, or speak to your neck, or speak to your back. And once you have and believe that you have received, and don't go back on it, speak to your wife, speak to your husband, speak to your circumstances, and speak faith to them to create in them, and God will create what you are speaking. So we are told to speak our circumstances into existence by faith. And by this faith, we will create good circumstances. Yet, as we take a close look at Hebrews chapter 11, you know, we see that this passage shows us what made these people great men and women of faith. And that was that their intent was to trust God, whether circumstances were victorious or tragic. Some were tortured, this section says, not accepting deliverance. Some were afflicted, destitute. They wore sheepskins and goatskins because they were poor due to poverty. They could not buy clothing. Some wandered in caves. And it's interesting, as we're going to read this passage right now, yet in chapter 11, verse 39, we see that these people had a good testimony through faith. These people were full of faith, though their circumstances were destitute. In other words, though they did not speak good circumstances into being by their words, and though they accepted the will of God and the suffering that God had for them, they were considered men and women of faith. Yet the faith teachers will tell us if we accept negative circumstances, we're not walking by faith. And we could simply say that the book of Hebrews here in chapter 11 has a very different concept of what a faithful man or woman is. They are people who endure hardships, They trust God regardless of what they see, even if it's not what they want to experience. They are not people who create their own circumstances. Well, it looks like time's up for today's broadcast, but join us tomorrow as we will continue to look at the flaws of the faith movement. Tomorrow we will be looking at their teaching on hell.